What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God, stay right with God, and find victory and surety in Christ Jesus. Today, we're talking about love again. This time, should your love for people be without conditions? We're going to be answering three questions. Number one, should we love everyone? How should we love people? Thirdly, does love mean putting up with mistreatment from people? So, last time we talked about five kinds of love. We talked about agapeo love, which is a general love that means that you have a fondness and a liking for a person, a place, or thing. Then there's the storge love, which is a love for family members, spouse, blood relatives. Then there's a filial love, which is a deep friendship love, whether they are blood related or not. And then there is eros love, which is an erotic love where you have a sexual attraction for the opposite sex and this desire for intimacy beyond filial. Those are the loves that the world knows. And then we talked about the fifth love, which is agape love, which has nothing to do with these emotional responses. The first four loves are about emotions, really, how you feel about people, place, or thing. But the fifth love, agape love, is a godly love, and it's about your love for people based off of the characteristics of God. So you treat people like God would treat them. You know, we listed some of those attributes. Love is kind, it's patient, it's long-suffering, it's trusting, it's humble, etc., etc. So we get all those different attributes, and that's what the world needs. This is what the world needs. This is why people trip out when, you know, they have a lover, they have a spouse or a sexual partner or a friend or family member mistreat them while they're saying they love them. I love you, but then they go and do something that harms them. And say, I don't understand, you know, and this is what's wrong with the world. They don't have godly love. They're missing that. They have these emotional responses, these feelings for each other, but they don't have godly love. And that's what's missing, agape. So we're going to answer the question, should you love everyone? Since people are not loving you, should you love them in return? You're going to answer that question. We're going to answer, how should we love? How should we love people? And then finally, does love mean putting up with mistreatment from people? All right. So let's read some scriptures to get the answers. But first of all, should we love everyone? Of course. The Bible tells us that we should. Let's read Matthew 5:43-48. And it's from New Living Translation. It says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we see here that we're called to love everybody, even our enemies, neighbors, friends, family, co-workers, and even our enemies, just the same, okay? And he's saying, here's an example. I mean, God loves those people. And he says God loves them enough to allow the rain and the sunshine, not only for the righteous, but the wicked. So it's important that we understand that if God is that way, we must be the same way. And so let's continue on. Proverbs 25:21 says, if your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. So we see here that this is a example of loving your enemies. If they need something, in this case, if they are hungry, give them food. If they are thirsty, give them water. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. So that's what love looks like. Doing good to everybody, not just your people that you like, but people you don't like. And not returning evil for evil. You see? So we see in just a few passages there that we got to love everybody. So the next question is, how should we love people? Well, we should love according to God. We're called to love people like God loves people. Agape love, okay? Doesn't mean that we have to have a fondness for people, okay? Some people will tell you that you have to have a liking for people, and that's not authentic love if you don't like them. You know, well, we're not called to like people and have an emotional fondness and liking for people, especially those who harm us. But we are called to love them anyhow, okay? According to God's standards, which is kindness and honesty, humility, etc. Everything that we mentioned in the last thing. And if you want to read 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter, you'll see that's what love looks like. So we're called to do that. Now, in the instance where we are being persecuted, we are being mistreated, as the scriptures say, to pray for those who spitefully use you and those who harm you and those who hate on you and all this kind of stuff. But like I said, it doesn't mean that you're going to feel good about it. You know, so don't believe the lie that you're supposed to feel good about your enemies. You know, it's a natural bodily response not to feel good because your body is trying to protect itself. Don't believe the lie that, oh, I'm supposed to feel good. And if I don't feel good about these people, then I'm not loving them properly. No, you're loving them by your actions. If you feed in your enemy, you love your enemy, according to God. If they need drink, you giving them drink, you love your enemy. So you're doing the will of God, okay? So how do we love people? Well, we love them by giving them agape love, the godly love, but we hate the sin. That's the thing. Especially our enemies. We hate their sins. So we can love the person by giving them, you know, being kind to them, humble with them, honest with them, patient with them, but we got to hate the sin. All right, we're called to hate the sin. And if we're constantly being abused by these people, there's a prayer you can pray. Well, let's just read it here. This is Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. So there was a judge in the city that didn't care nothing about God or the people. Verse 3, a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? So what we're seeing here is that you may be having to deal with some drama with family members. You may be having to deal with some stuff on your job. Just keep praying for justice. We're going to love those people, but pray for justice. You know, my prayers is often, I hope they repent and get saved. I hope that God brings conviction to their heart so that they can repent. I'm not going to hate them, but I'm going to hate their sin. And then I'm going to pray for justice because in many times I've confronted these people. I've done everything necessary to show them that they're wrong and they haven't changed. So that's when I pray for justice as well. I say, well, God, if they don't repent, judge them. And this is my prayer. The Bible says if you continue to do this, God will he'll grant that prayer. So keep praying. If you got enemies constantly bothering you, keep on praying. Don't give up. And this is why Jesus said at the end, he said, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Because a lot of people don't believe that God's going to do something about it. Now, if you're praying and you don't believe God's going to do something about it, then you don't need to be praying. So believe that God's going to justify this situation. He's going to fix the situation. Okay. And I remember one time that God did it. I mean, sometimes he don't. It's not his will to change certain things. Sometimes he just moves you out of that situation. Sometimes he calls you to call off that situation. In other words, you're in a relationship with somebody. He just say, close that up. Sometimes he moves the person away. You know, sometimes he changes the person where they get a conviction and then they become a better person. But we need to stop. We never should give up praying. OK, pray for justice. So continuing on or answering the next question, does love mean putting up with mistreatment from people? No, not in some certain cases. Now, first of all, when we preach the gospel, when we stand up for Christ, we're going to be persecuted. All right. But we're not called to be doormats. We're not called to be people who just going around being mistreated by people, being taken advantage of, being used and all this kind of stuff. That's not fruitful for us. It doesn't glorify God either. All right. So let me show you a few passages here, and I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to paraphrase them. In Luke chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, it talks about Jesus almost getting pushed off a cliff by his enemies. But he didn't put up with that. He went through the enemies and he walked away. God gave him a way of escape. In other words, he just didn't sit there and let them throw him off the cliff. See, he wasn't being no doormat. Jesus said, I ain't got time for this. This is not in the will of God. I'm not supposed to die right now. So he went right. He didn't deal with that. There's another passage in Matthew 10, 23. It says, Jesus said, when they persecute you in one city, flee to the other. So, yeah, while we do deal with persecution, we don't just sit around and just let it keep happening to us. At some point, we leave. We flee. If it gets too hot, leave. You see, we're not just sitting around getting bullied by people, all right? Another passage in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 19, it says, if it at all possible on our part, live at peace with everybody. Don't return evil for evil. Let God get revenge. All right, so if at all possible, live at peace with people. So what if you can't live at peace with them? Well, perhaps you need to move away. Okay, so what God is calling us to do is to live at peace. Now, if you don't have peace with co-workers, colleagues, neighbors, family members, then you're called to let them go. All right. And I'm going to show you a passage that shows that this is something that people were doing and they continue to do to this day. Matthew 19:29. This is Jesus speaking. He said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone, now he's not just talking about his disciples, but everyone, or the apostles rather. Now, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and inherit everlasting life. So this is implying that people have left their houses, their brethren, brothers and sisters, their fathers and mothers, their wife in some case, their children, their land for Christ's sake. And God is okay with that. If people in your life are getting in the way of your growth with the Lord, causing you stress and pain and creating barriers and stress for you, maybe they shouldn't be there. And we see here that they did that. So the fact that people were doing this is an indication that you can do it. Okay. For Christ's sake, of course. And what is Christ saying to us? That we should have peace. You know, when we get born again, we become a part of the kingdom of God. And one of the attributes of the kingdom is peace. No drama in your life. Get the drama out your life. Anything that's preventing you from getting closer to the Lord, having peace in your life, get rid of that. So here's another passage. 1 Corinthians 5:11, it says, don't eat with immoral believers. This is, I'm paraphrasing, but he was talking about people in the church who were claiming to be of God, but they were practicing adultery and fornication, and they were abusers, as it says in other passages. They were abusive, all that stuff. He said, don't even eat with them. Don't even hang out with them. Just cut off from them. All right. Let me read that passage again. 1 Corinthians 5:11. It says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer, which is an abusive person, or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one do not eat. So these are people in the church. I just want to be clear about this. Like, God is calling us to peace. He don't want us in fellowship with these people. So, yeah, we still love them, but we don't have to put up with their mess is what I'm trying to communicate here. Some stuff, you ain't got to have that kind of drama in your life. You just don't have to do it. Now, you pray about this. Now, you let God lead you to where you're supposed to go. You know, if you're supposed to cut off certain people, you. But I'm coming from the scriptures, and generally, that's what's supposed to happen. In certain cases, it may not be the case. But I just pray that you consider the scriptures when you're dealing with family members, co-workers, neighborhoods. You might be in a neighborhood where people are just, they ain't right. And you can say, well, Lord gonna protect me and everything gonna be fine. But yeah, maybe God is calling you to move, you know. Well, that may be hard for you. Look, God has called you to peace. We've talked about just leaving churches in the past. Same thing with them. Continuing on, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers." What does light have to do with darkness? So once again, a person in darkness can be a family member or a neighbor or somebody that's mistreating you, okay? Do we have to put up with the mistreatment? No. We're not supposed to be yoked with them in the first place. What are we doing in connection with these people? When you say, well, they don't live with me and all that kind of stuff. Okay. But why are we continuing to deal with them, especially when they're being, they cause drama in our life? Why go to a family reunion with these people and they cause all this drama? Like, I'm not showing up to that, you know, or I'm going to find out who's coming. And if they're coming, I'm not coming. You know, you see, why are we being unequally yoked? The Bible says don't be. Now, we can still love them. We can still show the agape love for them from a distance whenever we come across them. But we don't necessarily have to be in fellowship with them in you know, connection with them like that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 15, it says, a spouse is called to peace in a marriage with an unbeliever. So it implies that if there is no peace in the marriage because of maybe verbal abuse or physical abuse or something of that or that sort, they are not bound to that partner. So they can leave that marriage. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to get divorced or that they can get remarried. We're not necessarily talking about that, but he's saying that God has not called them to be together. They don't have to be together because of that. You know, but if the spouse that's unbelieving is not causing trouble, then they should stay with him. But if they are causing them trouble, meaning, you know, lack of peace, then they can separate. So God has given us instructions in the word to deal with stuff. You know, and it's not a lack of love. Somebody's going to try to say, you don't love me because you don't want to talk to me anymore. You don't love me because you're ending this relationship. Well, no, I'm taking care of me for my health's sake. God has called me to not to deal with this. You see, I can see people's trying to bring it to the Bible, say, you're not being patient with me. You know, you got to wait for me to change. That's not the point here. As long as you are abusive, as long as you are being a drama queen, as long as you are continuing to ask for money and mistreat me or my family members or my children, or disrupt the peace in my home, we can't be in fellowship. We are not to put up with that, all right? But I can hear people bringing up this passage here. Matthew chapter 5, verses 39. It says, Jesus told everybody to turn the other cheek. If somebody slap you on one side, turn the other cheek. And I've seen people, specifically Christian pacifists, go around talking about you just need to let people run all over you and stuff. Because Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Just get beat up and just let it keep happening. If that ain't the devil, I don't know what is. Okay? I'm going to tell you what that passage actually really means, okay? Firstly, Jesus seldomly made statements that were extreme, but they were not to be taken literally. An example is this. In the same chapter of Matthew chapter 5, early on, he says, pluck your eye out and sever your hand if you find yourself lusting after somebody else's wife, okay? Because he said, you know, if a man lusts in his heart, he's already committed adultery. And he goes on to state, talking about cut your hand off or pluck your eye out. If, you know, so, okay, here's the thing about that. Jesus is not saying you to do that literally, because if you pluck out one eye, you still got the other eye to look the lust after. If you cut off one hand, you got the other hand to grab at this woman or, you know, whatever you're going to do with that other hand. So that's not what he's meaning. If he didn't mean with these two examples, he doesn't mean the same thing about turning the other cheek. Turning the other cheek, everybody knew what he meant back then. First of all, this passage was in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew is written to the Hebrews, the Israelites. They understood that he was talking about the law. In the law, it was eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You see? So anytime somebody did something, the retaliation was whatever you did to them, they would do to you. And these were laws given so that nobody would overstep the bounds of revenge. So retaliation was allowed back then, but to a certain extent. And God said, tooth for tooth, eye for eye. Okay? So now Jesus was telling people, turn the other cheek. What he meant by was that don't get revenge as the law stated before, which is, you know, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. So to onlookers, if you was to practice what Jesus was saying, it would look like you would be turning the other cheek because you would be refraining from retaliation. Back then, it was a norm. As soon as somebody slapped you, you slapping them back. That's normal. For you not to do that, it was as if you turned the other cheek. So this is how they understood things. And you can't take the words of Jesus and say this is how he wants us to be. Just doormats to be running around and getting ran over. That ain't what the passage is speaking about. Okay? So finally, I just want to just go over these questions again. Should our love for people be without conditions? And the answer to that is yes. There should be no conditions. We should love everybody the same, having an agape love for them. Okay? That's our character. That's who God is, and that's how we should be towards those people. No conditions. Just like God has no conditions for us when it comes to the love he has for us. You know, he died for us when we were still sinners. So he had no conditions for that. So here's another question. Do you have to feel fondness for people who don't love you? No, you're not going to in some cases. That's okay. But we still show agape love to them. And when they're specifically our enemies and they're practicing sin against us and against God, we ought to hate the sin but love the person. Have agape love for the person, but hate the sin. And once again, we can pray, and we can also pray for justice, as we read in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Finally, do you have to keep ungodly people in your circle or stay connected to them? The answer is no. We read a ton of scriptures about that. Don't be unequally yoked with sinners. You're called to peace. Don't eat with immoral believers. If they're persecuting you, flee to another city. If it's all possible, live at peace with everyone. Don't return evil for evil. Let God get revenge. See, it's clear in scripture, y'all. We can still love people without fellowship. We ain't got a fellowship with everybody. See, a lot of us have storge in us, okay? Storge is that love for family members. It's a bond, it's an affection, it's a connection. And a lot of times the affection is gone, but the connection is still there. The bond is still there, and we're still keeping these people around. Okay, we've been taught, many of us growing up, family is everything. What if your family toxic? What if your family don't love you? What if they're using you and all this kind of stuff? But no, we can't keep them around, okay? So we got to get rid of this idea that we got to keep family connected. We don't. And we need to understand, for all of us who have been born again, we are of a new family. The old family has passed away. The old family has passed away. Jesus said to his mother and brothers, he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those who do the will of God. So the family that you have now are those who are followers of God, not your blood relatives. If they're not born again believers in God, they're not your family. Okay? So we need to get that clear. It's not to say we don't respect them, because respect is a part of love. Agape love. But we don't necessarily have to be in contact with them. We don't have to deal with their mess and their drama. So I just want to get that clear. We don't have to put up with ungodly mistreatment from people. We don't have to feel fondness for them, but we do have to love them without condition. Our enemies, neighbors, family, friends, everybody. So with all that said, be born again, walk in the spirit. If you're not, a child of God, be born again. Walk in the spirit and follow the word of God and be blessed.